Week two of demystifying prayer. We said last week that we need to keep prayer simple, right? Keep it honest. Keep it raw when you come before God. Because it's only in those opportunities that we become familiar, we become comfortable, and then we will learn to pray more frequently, more honestly, and more openly. Last week we said that if you want to grow your relationship with God, then prayer, not talking to God, is not an option. All of us need to take that time to be honest with Him, to be open with Him, to know that our relationship with Him is like every other relationship. It's built on solid communication. There is talking that goes on, and there is listening that goes on. And our relationship with God is no different than any other relationship in that sense. Prayer is simply us having a conversation with God. Just like we would a friend. We're talking and we're listening. But for a lot of folks, it isn't a conversation. For many folks, it's a presentation. You know some of those folks. When they pray, their voice changes and it gets deeper and more reflective. They use words that they never would use in normal conversation, but when they're talking to God, they say things like, "Thou art, thine presence." They even throw in a few hedges of protection. And they would never use that kind of language as they talk to their friends and talk to people that they know. And the fact of the matter is that as we read Scripture, we realize that the people behind those pages were not real polished. In fact, some of their prayers will shock us with how honest they are and how raw they are. You don't believe me? Let me give you a few examples. Jeremiah the prophet said, "Oh Lord, you misled me, and I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am, and you overpowered me." You understand what Jeremiah is saying to God in those couple of sentences. He is saying, "God, you lied. You lied to me. You said this, and here I am now in harm's way. You, God, misled me." That's borderline irreverent. But Jeremiah, in that moment, is being honest with God. Let's pick on the prophets. We'll go to Elijah, who said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. Basically, I might as well die, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." That's a prayer. Elijah prayed that prayer to God. "God, I might as well die. Kill me." And to show you that God is an equal opportunity God, let's look at Hannah, where in Samuel it says that Hannah got up and went to pray. She was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Why? Why would she be so broken? Why would she be crying bitterly to the Lord? Well, Hannah wanted a baby. And her husband were unable to have. The real shocker here is that not that these prayers were prayed, but the real shocker is that these were not removed from the Bible. Rather, they're held up as models for us to be reading centuries later. Held up as models for how we can come to God and just be honest. The Bible is full of raw and honest conversations with God. He doesn't come to grade our prayers. I'm sorry, Miss Teacher, but he doesn't listen to us and say, well, they didn't say that right. Or they didn't really ask the proper way. Just like you wouldn't do that with your children. Or for many of you, your grandchildren. You wouldn't say to them, now, honey, it's okay that you came, but you don't talk to me like that. Or you don't just come in and tell me that. You're happy. You're happy when your kids come to you, no matter in how kind of mumbled, jumbled language, to come and to share their hearts with you as parents and grandparents. God just wants us to talk honestly with Him. Jesus said it this way, didn't He? He said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everybody who knocks. The door will be open to them. Jesus is simply saying, I came to make God known to you, to bring you back into relationship with Him. And He's saying, this is what God likes. God wants us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now, I don't know what I did here, but when I started to pound on the sermon, I got a whole bunch of, like, sawdust. So I don't know. We'll just happen to look at that after the service this morning. It doesn't feel like it's any less wiggly, but we will double check that. He just wants us to communicate with Him. But my guess is that most of us probably aren't really communicating with Him. We are concerned that we might pray wrong, but my guess is that most of us aren't even asking. And the single greatest thing that we learned, that God wants us to come and to be honest and open with Him, we don't even ask. We don't even take the time to ask God for what we need or what we want. What are the reasons why? One is that we may doubt that God cares. In the grand scope of all that God has to do running this big old earth and this big old world and this universe and beyond, what's He concerned about little old me for? He's got stars to hold up in the skies. He's got days and nights to change. He's got so many people to listen to. Why would He be concerned about me? Sometimes we just don't want to put God out. He's doing enough. He doesn't need me bothering him. Sometimes we feel selfish. It's okay to ask for a new job. Right, Michelle? It's okay to ask for a new job, even when you may know folks who don't have a job. Sometimes we just feel selfish. And sometimes we don't ask because we're afraid of doing it wrong, that prayer thing. We do it wrong. We're not eloquent enough. We forget thou art to nine presence and protection of hedge of protection. And only people who can say those things or think about those things, only maybe priests or pastors or really smart people can pray. And then I think the last one is we're just not eloquent enough. We don't know what to say or where to say it. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we need to come boldly before God to make our requests known. And sometimes we just don't know what to say. We don't know where to start that conversation. What do I say? You ever been to an event where you go to your table or a table and there are cards on that table? And they got questions on those cards that you're to read. And the design behind that is that we can get into a conversation. They're called conversation starters. We go to events and these questions are there to get us started to talk. Well, the Bible is a great conversation starter. You read it and it gets you going. And today I want to look at a psalm that helps get us started in conversation with God. Dale has read it for us once already. Psalm 143, written by David, who had this very intimate relationship with God. It goes something like this. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me. He has knocked me to the ground and forced me to live in darkness, like those in a grave. I'm losing all my hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works, and I think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. We see people sometimes lifting their hands in worship. All that is a posture of showing and saying to God, I need you. I thirst for my parched lips. It's like I'm asking for rain. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn from me, for I will die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserves my life. Because of your faithfulness, you bring me out of this distress. In your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes. For I am your servant. You know what David's saying there? God, help me. Help me. When you don't know how to start, that is a pretty good conversation starter. God, help me. When you hit those places in life when you feel like you've lost some control, have you ever been there where you feel like you've lost some control over life? The truth is of the matter is you don't really have control, but in those moments you are made distinctly aware that you do not have control. The car accident. The phone call that you wished you never got. The financial hole that you're looking at that you say, I can never get out of. A project at work that you look at it and you know you can't do. Your parents tell you they're getting a divorce. Those are God help me moments. David was in one of those God help me moments when this psalm was written. He had a lot of moments like that that were just out of his control, some of his own doing and sometimes of somebody else's. King Saul chased him down, forcing him to flee, to run from him, and to live like a refugee. Later on, his own son, Absalom, launched a coup against him. His own son was trying to hunt him down. You thought your family was jacked up. You ought to read the Bible sometime. It's full of stories all like that. There are those times where David was attacked from the outside, and then other times when he screwed up himself. He took one of his friend's wives and got her pregnant and then ordered her husband be killed. That's in the Bible. You should read that. Wrecked his family. David knew at times what it was like to feel out of control, but it allowed and taught David to pray. Three things. In this God help me prayer that can guide us when we face those moments when we feel like life's out of control. One is this, is that we need to face facts. When life is out of control, we need to assess our lives around us. Face facts. God help me. Remember how the psalmist started. He says, the enemy has chased me. He's knocked me to the ground and forced me to live in darkness like those in a grave. It isn't like God doesn't know, but David is assessing and telling God what he sees before him. Have you ever been in what you felt like was darkness? Have you ever been knocked to the ground? Ever have heavy circumstances weigh upon you? Ever have someone you trusted betray you? Have you ever had the sins of your past creep into your present? Have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever had a dream or a vision for your life that you didn't feel was being realized? David is laying out his cause to God, feeling like life is against him. He's feeling like life has knocked him to the ground. And he's saying, God, help me. I'm scared. Remember those verses in verse 4 when he says, I am paralyzed with fear? We need to stop and to pray about those things. God, I am afraid of this diagnosis. I am afraid about my future. God, what if we break up? God, what if I lose my starting spot? What happens, Lord? I am afraid because of a road my children are going down. We need to acknowledge those things before God. Be honest with him. Not only that, a help me prayer can happen when I'm confused. Verse 8 says, show me where to walk. He's asking for clarity. I'm confused. Should I take this new position in my company? Show me, Lord, where to walk. Is this the best relationship for me to be in? Show me where to walk. God doesn't want us to be confused. And he isn't playing mind games. He's not saying there's a code out there and you've got to decipher it and then you'll be all right. He has plans for your life and wants you to live it fully. Sometimes those help me prayers are, God, I just feel overwhelmed. Teachers going back to school, you feel overwhelmed. David said, Lord, bring me out of my distress. It's overwhelming. This general feeling that I'm in over my head. David understood that. He understood that God wanted him to bear his soul. And he asked God for what he wants. He says, rescue me and answer me. Show me where to walk and silence my enemies. He isn't trying to sanitize his prayers. He faces the facts and he acts boldly. Get me out of this, God. He's doing what Jesus would ask us to do, to seek and to ask and to knock. Sometimes that's a vulnerable prayer. Because God may not respond the way we want. Sometimes we don't pray about certain things because we're afraid that if God is silent, what does that mean? What if life doesn't change? We don't ask at times for healing because we're afraid no one gets healed. We may pray for kids. They may not come. We may not get that job we wanted. And we just stop asking. And we begin to build a wall between ourselves and God. We ask because we know that we are God's children. And he wants us to know his children. And he wants us to tell our desires. You would hate it if your kid came along to you and said, Mom, Dad, I need this. And for whatever reason, you decided to not give it. You would hate it. You would literally hate it if they said, well, I asked, and I'm not going to ask anything ever again. And they start to build up walls. You'd be brokenhearted. David didn't know how God would respond. But he asked God. He told him what his wants and his hopes were. And he faced the facts. And then he remembered what was most true about God. I remember the days of old. I promised, I ponder your great works, and I think about what you've done. Throughout God's faithfulness, or throughout this passage, he peppers in God's faithfulness, reminding us of God's nature and character. And he declares that even when it seems like it's silent, God is good. I had an incident occur this week that classically fits this point. I didn't get her permission to share this. And now she's looking at me like, I'm going to kill you. No, you. Okay. As I said earlier in the service, this was the first week of school. My wife is a kindergarten teacher. And the kids came on Wednesday. And she finds out that she has 3 children in her class that are autistic. No, what? 1 kid that's autistic and 2 more that were... Okay. So one of them is yelling out all class long, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that all class long, all day long. One of them is throwing their shoes down the hall and at the teacher. And the other one, she had issues too. And my wife comes home, and she's like, oh, I'm leaving. I am not going to do this anymore. I might get through December, but by the end of the year, I'm done. These kids, it's impossible. And on and on and on she went. Thursday, it gets no better. Oh, I'm leaving. I don't want to teach anymore. It's horrible. I got kids throwing things at me. I got kids screaming all the time. This is terrible. No, I didn't use any of the words that you used those 2 nights describing those kids and things that they were saying as kindergartners. Starts with an F, and the second word starts with a Y. All going on. She was ready to quit. And then Friday morning, something happened. They got her some help in the room, and by the time she got home that night, she said, you know, I got some help today, and it's not quite as bad. In fact, I got some teaching done, and in fact, the one kid that drives me the most crazy, I think it was the yeller, came and sat beside me, that defiant kids never do, and gave her a big old hug. Now, I was thinking about this at 1 level, and then it struck me there's 2 levels. Her Heavenly Father listened to her pray for a couple of nights with all the bad language. Didn't change her circumstances, but his presence brought her peace. And most of us are like the 3-year-old or the 5-year-old who wants to throw a temper tantrum when we don't get our way. And we get all upset and fussed up. And rah, 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 rah. At the same time, we're saying, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. I love you. And sometimes what they really need is just to somebody let them vent, let it out. And as best you can, just hold them and help them, knowing that they're going to eventually come along and say, Daddy, I love you. Can't believe I did that. So.
At least it ran on our lips.
Yeah. But your Heavenly Father wants to hear you. He wants you to get it out. He wants you to be honest and raw and open. Even if you feel like you're beaten up on him, he can take it. Because he's going to get to the point where you realize, where you say, I give up. And you have been faithful, dear God. And I'm going to allow you, I'm going to rest in your presence and see you through. Amen and amen.